This morning's reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, starting at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake, in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
Good morning, everybody. Let me set myself up. Great to see you all. Welcome to this new year. It's still there. Some people holidaying. That's fine. But great to be in the house of God. I think it's always a privilege to come to church. And as I prayed this morning, I felt reminded that we can still meet in open space, so in New Zealand. So we're so honored and privileged to be here in the house of God that we can worship Him. If you don't know me, my name is Sam, and I've been part of the church for the last few years. Not too long, me and my wife and my family have been coming, and I think we've been loving this community. Just a little bit of background, if you haven't seen me before, I came to New Zealand in 2008, so a long time ago. Wasn't planning to stay here. I was planning to study, came to study in Otago University, and then I got a job in Palmerston North. That's how I moved. So my career is doing research on grass. So the grass outside your lawns that you kill, that's my research. So we try to develop varieties of grass that benefit the farmers and so on and so forth. Since then, I've moved my career, so just working in a distribution center at the moment. So don't want to advertise much, but yeah, we work for Countdown. and our competitors are Foodstuffs. But yeah, it's been really good just doing work with people that are like-minded and have a really competitive mindset as well. Beautiful, married to one beautiful wife. We've got three beautiful kids that God has given me, and I think I never imagined when I landed in a cold, dark night in Dunedin. It was pouring down. I just had no idea where it was. I went and checked my passport. I was like, yeah, is this the right country I'm in? Very different people, and struggled a lot with just what I saw was the alcohol culture, and I used to study till 11 o'clock at night because my parent invested all his savings of 10 years into my study. So I had this big, heavy burden that I want that to be worth it. So I studied hard. And just a note before I go into a preaching is that if there are some people here who are really desperate to have grandkids who don't have grandkids right now, we got 3 on offer. Just saying it. hey, darling. Anyway, if you haven't been to church in here for the last few months, you know that we are going through the grand story. That is the grand narrative that we started in October last year, beginning from creation, which is the first book that is Genesis in the Bible. And then we move to what is God like. That is, God is the God of love, God who's holy, God is gracious, God is just God. And then we moved into what does God do, which is he seeks out a people, which means he is seeking out, he wants to liberate people out of something, out of slavery, out of sin. And that is the book of Exodus. And then we moved into he enters into a covenant with his people, that is a bond, that is a relationship with his people. And then we moved into that he wrestles with his people, all the book of prophets. And then eventually we moved into there are rumors that the God is coming, that is the Messiah is coming. There was promises that he made that is coming. And then last month we celebrated the arrival of baby Jesus, the Christmas. And then we moved now into the New Testament, which is where we are in this passage today. That is the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. And Matthew picks it up from where Jesus is now no more a baby. Now he's gone through his babyhood and then he's grown up. He's gone through all the teenage years and now he's 30 years old. So we come to that stage at the moment. This is where Matthew picks it up. And Davis last week shared a message on how Jesus got baptized by John. And then following that, he had this very big temptation thrown at him by Satan. The three main temptations are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Are you awake? And the last thing is pride of life. So just checking your way here. So we come to this pinnacle moment in Jesus' life that before he begins his ministry, he needs to find a crew. He's literally in the business of recruiting people. Now, with my work, I have had some experience last year about dealing with recruitment. I think it's one of the hardest things as well. I mean, one of the hardest things is dealing with people if they literally do they really want a job or do they not want a job. Now, there are thousands of people who apply for jobs. So now, I've come across people who are really desperate. So you ask them to do these things before you get a job. They have to do certain steps. So we have 4 or 5 different prerequisites, which they really have to fill out online form, go to do a medical test, and all those things. There are some people who are really desperate, done. I don't have to follow up. And then you have this middle group of people that are somewhat keen to get a job, but they're also applied at different places, you know. So we have to kind of push a little bit to get them to apply and do this. And then there's this third group of people who are really busy. So when I call them, we try to get in touch with them. I'm like, have you done this step? Oh, I'm busy with school. I'll get it done 4 o'clock. No response. So I've dealt with all these groups of people, literally from really keen to not keen to somewhere in the middle. And then you also have this, once you hire them, especially we were so desperate for the weekend work, we hired this group of people and then they don't show up to work. So you have all this literal, varieties of people that we think they really want a job, but in the background, they're not really keen at all. So I've experienced this range of people. And when you recruit a team, it's actually, you want to find the right people. So if you look here, Jesus is literally trying to find the right person. And where he goes, he really doesn't interview them. You know, nowadays, to get a job, it's a long process. If you want a really highly profile job, you have to go through the interview process and all those things. Thinking about interview, there's a funny story that comes to my mind. I don't know if you heard about this. It's an Indian interview story, so that comes to my mind. It just happened recently, I think. So I don't know if you know about India, there are literally thousands and thousands of jobs online. So for one job, you will have 5,000 people apply. So you have to be competitive. You have to show that you are the best person in the job. And so the first guy goes in for interview. There are 10 people who applied for the job who are shortlisted. So one of those 10 will be getting the job, right? So they wait outside, and the first person goes in, he does his interview, and then he comes out, and it happens other places as well. The second guy says, hang on, can you tell me what were the questions? So now he said, now there's going to be same questions for everybody, so I'm not allowed to tell it. Then he's like, okay, tell me the answers, right? Okay, cool. So the first question they asked him was in the interview, which is not supposed to tell, is when did India get its independence? And so he said, okay, cool, where there are so many things that take place throughout the year. There were so many meetings that happened, and there were so many programs that were made. And finally, eventually, India got their independence in 1947. Cool. And the second question was, who is the father of the nation? So his response was, you know, I can't assign that to one person. There are so many people who were acted as fathers of the nation, so I can't really give you a proper answer for that. So the question is, we're like, okay, fair enough, that's a good point. And then the last point was, is corruption India's major problem? And he's like, no, the Prime Minister had appointed a committee, and they will do some research on it and eventually come to a conclusion, and then I can give you a proper answer. So he says all these answers to the second guy. The second guy doesn't know any questions, so he goes to inside the interview, and then they looked at his application, and the guy who was interviewing him looked at him and he said, hang on, there are some things in your application that are not filled correctly. What is your date of birth? So he looks at him and he says, hang on, look, there's no one day I can give you. There are a lot of days that have happened throughout the years. And it finally came into 1947. So the guys were like, hang on, this guy, that's an interesting answer. And then they looked at him and he asked the question, what was the name of your father? And he looked at me, oh, hang on, I can't give you one name of a father. There were so many people who helped. They looked at him and said, have you lost your mind? And then he said, look, oh, hang on, the Prime Minister has appointed a committee, and they're going to do some research. So just to give you an interview, an idea that this is what happens around the world right now, is the interviews are quite the hardest things to do. As when I think about the scenario of Jesus, for him to find his disciples that we call his followers, it's a hard task. And he walks around this location of Sea of Galilee. Now, I was thinking, why did he go there in the Sea of Galilee? He could have gone to a high-profile meeting in the synagogue at the time, and he could have picked those people who were really good in the scriptures, who know the law really well, but he went to fishermen. Now, if you think about Galilee, Galilee really means a circle. It means a circuit. That's how the shape of the whole sea was. And Capernaum, where Jesus lived, was kind of quite a prolific town as well. So Galilee was a common place where it was a commercial fishing industry. So there were a lot of fishermen, and it was quite popular that fishermen would go, and there was a massive business place for them. So when I was thinking about this story, it was not that Jesus went in and he picked up random people. You didn't even follow me. But he actually knew those people. So you look at the story today that was read. It was Peter, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. He actually knew them before. So they've actually seen Jesus before. It wasn't, they were not strange to him, but Jesus actually knew them, and they knew him as well. But they didn't know him at a level that Jesus wanted them to know. So if you look at the same story in the book of Luke gives a little bit more picture. Before he talks to them, Luke says that they have fished all night and they didn't catch any fish. This is the same scenario. And Luke, who's a doctor by profession, he writes it very more detail about the same story. And he says they fished all night and Jesus wanted to use one of the boats to talk to the people. The crowd was already following him. So he preached at them. And so he said, can I use your boat? And then afterwards, he says, go and cast your net on this side. And the miracle that happens is that they caught so many fish that the boats were sinking. Now, this is the important time that Jesus speaks these three important words, come, follow me. What does it really mean? Like, come and follow me. So I think when I was trying to understand what it really means is that follow me, it means detaching yourself from something and attaching yourself to someone. Think about this. What does follow me means? Detaching yourself from something and attaching yourself to someone. Now, there is another interpretation that was given to this story is that imagine the Sea of Galilee was the sea of, how can you interpret in the modern terms, is the sea of secularism. It's people are all in that one mindset of secularism. And what Jesus is really asking is getting people out of that secularistic mindset and bringing them to follow him. That could be a great understanding. Imagine the fish, the eyes. Fish is like glassy eyes. And that's the imagination we have. It's this a glassy sea of people that are caught in secularistic mindset. But really what Jesus wants is do not follow the world, but trying to get them out, that fish them out of the sea and to follow him. And that's the understanding we get, the spiritual spiritual terms of understanding. And if you think about follow, I think the world knows a lot about followership right now. Instagram is a popular thing that a lot of people use. And one of the main things is, how many followers have you got? You know, it's all about, I've got 1,000 followers, I got 2,000, I got 1.1 million followers. But when you look at Instagram is really a fake way of telling, I'm good at everything, you know? You have perfect bodies there. You have people whose world from the day to night is absolutely amazing. And everybody wants to put up this image on social media saying, follow me and you can see my world, my life is amazing. And they have this false pretension that, oh, I wish my life was like him. I wish this was like him. But that kind of follower that we talk about in the social media world is very surface level. You don't know the person. You know, he's somewhere in America and you're just following him. You see his day-to-day life. Whereas what Jesus is really asking is, leave what you're doing and follow me physically. And if you look at a calling of a person, as I said, the first thing is where they lived was really important. The Sea of Galilee. Big commercial place of business. And there was another town that was near to Capernaum. Apparently, it was a metropolitan city. And if you read the verse before in the same reading, it says that once there were people who were filled in darkness, a light has shone. Because that place, again, spiritual terms, it says that the most people that lived in the city were Gentiles, which means people who were not from Jewish descent and they did not follow a God. They were following so many other gods. And so, wherever there is more darkness, the light shines brighter. And so when we think about this, it's quite important is that Jesus is calling people at a certain location from a significant profession as well. So what you do is quite important as well. Think about this. The fishermen, they were one of the hardest working people. They fish at night, but they literally work all day, sometimes all summer. They work all in winter, and sometimes they work all at night as well. So they were really hard-working people. So where you are is important. What you do is important. And the third important thing is that how you respond is also important as well. The response for the disciples were, they said, when Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, they literally left their nets and they followed him. And it amazed me. How come they left just like that? It's because they knew that this is something bigger than what I'm doing right now. And it shows their level of commitment. And if you follow the other story, the sons of Zebedee, which Zebedee means thunder, James and John's response were they left their nets, they left their father, and then they followed him. What it shows me is that they showed strong personal commitment to Jesus as they left their father to manage the business. And it also likely indicates that the prestige of being called to follow a rabbi was a substantially significant opportunity that it was accepted both by the father and the son as an acceptable sacrifice to be made in compared to the family business. They left their father's business and then they followed the heavenly father's business. How amazing is that? So when I look at this story and here, it shows that the criteria for Jesus when he selected his disciples was their commitment over their aptitude, how much they could do. And so when I come to the conclusion, it says, how will the world know that we are disciples? Think about this. How does the world know that? Again, the Bible doesn't say that you are called to be Christians. You're called to be disciples. The Great Commission, it says, what does the Great Commission say? Matthew chapter 28, it says, going to making disciples. He didn't say making Christians, make disciples. There are many people that call themselves Christians right nowadays. You ask, are you Christian? Do you go to church? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? That's a question mark. But Jesus is calling us to make disciples of all nations. Again, John 13:35, it says, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So that is the secret. That if the world needs to know Jesus, is how you love one another. And I think I've seen experience it in many ways in this community. So let's continue to do what we are doing is loving one another, treating each other with respect. And I love the mission that we have in our house here is that we are disciples following Jesus. That's the first thing. We are disciples following Jesus, a community forming communities, and on a mission transforming cities. So what's the challenge that lies for us is that where we are right now is Jesus is calling us to be his disciples. And also what we do is very important, our occupation. How can we love the people around us well, that they know that we are his disciples? And then what is our commitment this year to follow him? Is there something that we need to detach ourselves from so we can attach to him more? I think there's many things in my life that I can think of. Think about those things. What can I detach myself this year so I can be more attached to him? The main important thing about being a disciple is not about doing more. It's about being more. I think we have heard it all. So how can we be with him more? Eventually, we want to be like him. That's our goal. How can we be more like Jesus? The way I talk, the way I think. So the followership is not just what we do, how we be with him, but how we think. How is our soul with him? My spirit is everything. We can follow Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Pray. Father, we thank you that we live in this wonderful country of New Zealand and in this amazing city of Palmerston North. We thank you that, Lord, there are people that are sitting here. You're calling us to follow you wholeheartedly. We pray that and believe that, God, you have spoken to us this morning. And we pray that, Lord, as we even go to bed tonight, that you speak to us, Lord. You put the nudge in our spirits. What are the things that we need to detach ourselves from so we can attach to you more? Help us to take this calling seriously because it was so important for those disciples that they left their father's business and they followed you immediately. So we thank you, Lord, that this year is going to be incredible as we see many of us following you wholeheartedly, and we'll see many others that will follow you as well, Father. And I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here in this crowd right now who don't know you, that they will come to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name.